Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Changing the Narrative podcast. I'm Dr. Gabriel Warren, along with co-host Carl Benson. And tonight we have a special guest, Joshua Warren, who, you know, for the listeners out there listening, he's actually one of my brothers. So we come from a medium-sized family, three girls, four boys. So Joshua and I are 2 years apart. So, man, welcome to the show, Josh. I'm glad to have you here.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you all for having me on.
All right, man. Well, you know, I know you well. I've known you since you was a baby. But for people who are tuning in and they're just getting to know who you are a little bit, can you share with us a little bit about your story, what you do professionally, and anything that you'd like to share about your background?
Yeah, sure. As you all have heard, you know, come from a pretty big family. And in that family had a lot of good times, a lot of times that would allow us to grow and develop into the individuals that you are see here today. I actually went to the University of Alabama. I guess you could say I followed my brother. He went there first, and I tagged along a few years later, and I finished up from the University of Alabama as well, both in the business world. We got our undergrads. And from there, just kind of moved into the career space where initially my goal was to climb that corporate ladder and get that six-figure job and just kind of rule the world. So everybody's aspiration that goes into business. So after spending some time in banking, I spent about 9 years in banking, I decided to actually pivot and go to the nonprofit sector, where I have been working in a nonprofit space for about 7 years. And I discovered this passion through volunteering through some other organizations, and just kind of got a joy out of it. And I realized that, hey, you know, if I do this for free, I might as well explore the possibility of actually getting paid for it. So I just kind of married my professional life with my hobby, which is actually being a impact to the community. So that's how I landed in nonprofit space. My current role is a development manager, in which for a nonprofit, which my goal is to basically put the right people in the room to help further the mission of the nonprofit.
Cool. What's the name of your nonprofit?
So I'm with the Leukemia Lymphoma Society.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Very cool. I want to learn a little bit more about that, but in that space, how important is it for a Black man like yourself in that career field, in the nonprofit space, of course, but then in that specific, you know, career field and or nonprofit, how do you feel that, you know, as a Black man that you're navigating that?
Oh yeah, it's very important. One of the things that sometimes I do some career talks with some students and stuff like that. And one of the things that I always try to actually point out to the upcoming youth that you need to pursue passion over profits. Right. As I explained, you know, I was on that track where I wanted to kind of be the CEO, be this corporate mogul, and not realize, hey, you got to get some fulfillment out of what you're doing and not just on that hamster wheel going day to day, clocking in, punching in just to pay the bills. So to kind of circle back to your question, it's very important because in the nonprofit space, a lot of people think of it as, I've heard people say this, corporate begging. Which that's not the case at all. In the space, you're fulfilling a need that most people don't think about until they actually need it. And I have been in several rooms with several people, and there's not a lot of people that look like me that are in those spaces. But I've been in some rooms with some very influential people, people that most people that work in corporate America may not even have an opportunity to get a chance to talk to. CEOs, C-suite people, famous people, and it provides a lane and an avenue for us to continue to help build communities. It's kind of like I said, a lot of people don't think about the things that are offered by nonprofits until they actually are a benefactor of the things that they're actually being a part of. So with that being said, it's extremely important because a lot of those nonprofits provide services to communities that are underserved, which sometimes can be, I guess, a term that seems like it only pertains to people of minorities. But there's several people that are underserved. There are several underserved youth. There are several underserved families. So that's the space that nonprofit actually thrive in, is providing those avenues and opportunities for individuals that may be underserved in whatever capacity.
That's good,
All right,
man.
thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah.
So you kind of started going down this path a little bit then in your first answer, but can you tell us like what motivates you to do what you do each day? You're in this space, you talked about putting your passion before profits and all of that, but can you expound a little bit more about like what motivates you each day?
Well, I guess kind of hindsight looking back, I've always, or we've always been exposed, because you were there with me, Gabriel, to that need to be an impact in the community, with us being preachers' kids and growing up around places that were philanthropic, as well as our parents that actually poured into individuals, provided that support. Being community leaders and just support system, that has always been something, I guess, that has been planted and rooted in me. So what really motivates me to actually kind of do what I do every day is actually seeing the impact that I'm making on individual people's life. Once again, whatever space you're in terms of nonprofit, seeing that person that has a need and you are able to be able to fulfill that need with whatever service or whatever you provide in the nonprofit space, it just lets you know that you're leaving an impact in the world and leaving it off better than you found it.
Very cool. It's curious because I know that leukemia, lymphoma, it's as we talk about Black folks and medicine and the medical kind of things that go along with it, a lot of that stereotypes are with Black folks is they don't really want to get too deep into talking about medical issues and whatnot. Do you find a lot of your time, or is there any part of your time that when you're in community and when you're supporting community, that it's an education process, or how do you educate folks not only on what you're doing, but folks in your community, Black folks like ourselves who are kind of like, tell me more about leukemia specifically. Do you get into that space?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a good question. So I do find myself a lot of times trying to bring awareness, because actually leukemia actually affect the African American community at a, well, not a leukemia, lymphoma. And there's a form of lymphoma called myeloma, that affects the African American community at a disproportionate rate. So I think a lot of the time I'm trying to dispel the myth that, hey, we immune to everything. It seems like Black folks is, they'd be like, oh yeah, we don't get that, or you know what I'm saying, we don't actually experience those problems, and I mean just cancer in general, because leukemia and lymphoma is a form of blood cancer, and it's very rare. But it actually affects a lot of the African American communities at a higher rate than most people know. So bringing that awareness is something that is a passion of mine. And once again, you don't know that you need this until you're faced with that task. And then you're trying to find resources and you're trying to find opportunities to get educated, to get assistance and things of that nature. So it's definitely important.
Right on. Appreciate that.
That's good, man. I didn't know that. I did not know that it was so prevalent in the African American community, man. So that's good for me. So now we're gonna kind of, shift a little bit and just talk a little bit about like being a black man. You're in this space. You're doing things that are, not usually something that you would see a black man doing oftentimes. So can you tell us about one misconception our society has about being a black man that you would like to eradicate?
Well, this is a challenging one because there's so many misconceptions. If I could just kind of narrow it down to one, is that I think my biggest one would be the misconception that we don't care about community. Me being in this space, and being this face in this industry, it lets them know that basically, hey, we care about our communities. We don't want to be in a place where it's not thriving, where there's not opportunity, where there's not growth, and where there's not family, where there's not resources. Like, we care about community, and we don't necessarily care about our community all looking the same, per se. We just care about actually having a community where we can actually thrive and get a fair shot. So I think the misconception that I would like to eradicate is that we're all about ourselves, and we're selfish. We're willing to do whatever, even be divided amongst our own, race, to actually get ahead. We're willing to, sacrifice each other. So in that community aspect is it resonates really well with me. And I'm gonna use this as not mine. Actually, my pastor actually said is that word community is common unity. Like, we need common unity together so that we can continue to coexist with everybody. So that's the biggest thing, is that we care. We care about community.
I appreciate that. Yeah, common unity is something I'm gonna. I wrote that down as I was typing some of my notes here. I was like, I'll probably steal that one as well. That's a good one. I'm always pulling things from the folks we speak to. So it's great to hear that. So when you talk about lymphoma and you talk about leukemia, and just finding a cure, I guess, for blood cancer. That might not be something you do yourself at your position, I guess, if you will. But how do you define success in what you do for the cause or for your community? How do you define success in that?
Like, my job is mostly actually, networking, being able, like I said, to help bring in resources to actually further the research, provide aid and things of that nature. So what I define as success is being able to actually see the ones that are impacted, and they say, hey, the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society helped me with this, helped me with that. And knowing that I had a hand in actually getting the funds, securing the funds for them to even have the opportunity to go get a treatment or to be able to be helped with prescription health care or whatever it may be. That's my gratification, is someone coming up to me and be like, hey man, my mom, sister, brother, cousin, yeah, they battled with this, and because of you all support, that's what helped us actually make it through this journey. So that's been the best part of actually being a part of what I do.
Amazing. Fantastic.
So if you're thinking about a broad message that you would like to share with, the listeners about, what it means to be a black man in America, like what would that message be?
Yeah, and I'll make this short and sweet. Of course, we can think about we and there's a ton. And I'll say just take the labels off, so many times we get boxed into what a black man needs to look like, needs to talk like, needs to walk like, needs to provide, all of these things. And we just need to kind of take the labels off of what it means to be a black man. Like who basically gets the right to define what it means to be a black man? And because at the end of the day, he's still a man, and there's no perfect man that's on earth. So if we can take the labels off what it means to be a black man and just let a black man actually thrive and be who God has called him to be and live his life on purpose, the purpose that God has called him to be, then I think that would be a step that will take us so far. I actually was talking to my wife was about this the other night that and we were watching a movie. And it talked about, how the stereotypical things where, we are always the first to be labeled as, hey, the either aggressive or the suspect or, whatever it may be. And this is extremely challenging because, a black man has to deal with this when he goes out, but also sometimes when he comes home, he has to deal with it. Whether it be, someone saying that, he's lazy or he's not providing or he's a dog or all of that within our own race and community. So if we could just take the label off black men, I think that will be something that will allow us to actually step into our full potential.
Right on, right on. So when you think about just you're not only you've mentioned this already, so it might be a duplicate a little bit, but we talk about black culture and black men in culture in today's culture. A lot of it is kind of the athletes, the entertainers that they sort of get the press, if you will, the highs and the lows, and then the negative sides of it. So all your things on TV, so kids in the streets or fights or gangs or whatever that looks like. So if you were to change the narrative, the label or the title of this podcast, if you were to change the narrative of what black men look like in the culture, maybe what one or two things would you do to sort of start that process to change the narrative? Where should we talk to kids about, or who should we talk to in order to change that narrative?
Well, who I'm not really sure go there, but in terms of changing the narrative, I think it starts within the actual home. It starts with the parents. Everybody's not gonna, like you say, they're not gonna shoot a basketball. They're not going to be able to catch a football, or now we're taking over spaces like golf and tennis and all of these other things. Everybody's not going to be athletically inclined. But, I think the narrative that we should be actually kind of pushing for is, hey, who do you think that, and this is along the biblical aspect, who do you think God has called you to be? Because at the end of the day, when you actually make your impact on the world, that's all that's going to stand the test of time is who you were and what you did, with your time here on earth. So I think that should be the narrative is, how are you going to actually leave your imprint and create your legacy in the world?
Right on. That's awesome. Thank you.
Good, man. So, man, we're getting close to the end of our time, man. And we always like to get our guests to kind of, share with the listeners, like, how can people follow you? How can people connect with you? If somebody listens to this podcast and they want to learn more about the Leukemia Lymphoma Society, or they may want to reach out to you and say, hey, how can I be a part of, giving towards the work that you're doing? How can they do that? What ways can they contact you or reach out?
Definitely in terms of the professional capacity, you can reach out to me at my email. That's gonna be joshua.warren@lls.org, or you can reach out to me LinkedIn. That's Joshua Warren. You can find me on LinkedIn as well as Facebook. I have a Facebook page, which is Joshua Warren, that you can also reach me there.
All right, man. Well, cool, man. I know that this is just a real small glimpse into the life that you have to live out every day. And I really enjoy, hearing some of your insights, man, about just what it means to be, a Black man in the space that you're in, man. So, I think this has been a very impactful interview, and I know the listeners are gonna, tune in, and they're gonna be, excited to hear what you have to say. So, man, thank you for being a part of the show, and we're glad to have you as a part of the community.
Appreciate
Yeah,
you.
yeah. Yeah, thank you all for the time and opportunity to be able to share.
Right on.